Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. What a class. What a class. What a congregation. You know, I mean that sincerely. I know that as a congregation, you have gathered to honor the graduates of 2026 as a church, as a family, remembering perhaps your spaghetti dinners, maybe when you invited students back. And I just thank you for that on behalf of the school. I hope that they're on your prayer list, for this is a continuing relationship. And I just thank you that you do come. We set aside this day to honor the graduating class and their hard work. But really, we're celebrating that a church embraces this school and these students. It makes us unique, and it makes us strategic. And we thank you that you so willingly and readily want to honor them. And rightly so, graduates, when we see you up here singing. You know, honestly, I'll say it again, I can't imagine this campus without you. And when we see you singing, we realize the hole you will leave in our heart and in our prayer meeting and going forward. So with that, with this wonderful, generous gift of a pickleball court, what I want to say to the graduating class of 2026, since it's in your honor, it was given, you need to come back and you need to establish the tournament challenge of 26. You, as the class, need to come back and play the class of 27, the graduates 27, 28, and also book this congregation and play them. And if you come on a Sunday, you get a free spaghetti dinner. I think that's amazing. You want to come back for that. I was very moved when talking with students recently and asking them what was a highlight of this year. One of them said was getting to know the congregation. When they got to know you, when the young men got to go on the men's retreat, when the women come to the gatherings, and you make it a point of getting to know one of these special soldiers that are being raised up. Thank you very much. For those that want to make it a point to love a young person, invest in them. For that, I honor you and this special congregation and the way you embrace the students of this school. And I know that they will leave remembering you and remembering this time in church. Thank you, Joy, for that powerful thing. I got over church hurt because people in this place love them and honor the work they do. So on behalf of that, I do thank you. Class of 2026, the way that I want to honor you was to truly seek a word from the Lord in a very busy season. And I set some time aside because someone asked me, what is a risk you're taking this week? I said, the risk I'm taking this week is to seek a completely new word for the graduating class of 2026, that something would be placed in their heart, that they have a forever word. And I believe he's given that to me. I want to speak to you this morning, the promise of a fiery tongue. The opening of chapel not too long ago, our senior student, Echo, he lifted a Bible and he placed it over his head. And with a very powerful visual, he began to exhort the students that that Bible over your head would represent your mind and the decisions in life, the identity and the purpose that you're seeking would all be sought through the truth, the Word of God informing you of your life's decisions, your mind, your identity. And it was a very powerful visual. But as he stood there and did that, immediately I was quickened to another time. I was reminded in the Bible of Acts 2, when something else was given over the heads of the assembled believers. That something else, it was a physical sign that appeared to them. It was not just over them, but it came upon them, and this sign rested upon them, and it was a sign like divided tongues of fire. And according to the ESV, in Acts 2:4, it says this, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And many say that that was the launch of the New Testament church. It was a mighty, miraculous start in the supernatural and in power. But the symbol, interestingly enough, was not fiery feet. It was not fiery hands. It was not an all-seeing eye. The symbol of the power that was putting on the church was tongues. I will give my church a supernatural ability to speak truth to darkness, to speak in a new way, that this organ, this part of our body that we use for prayer, for praise, to sound, to communicate, for speech, for rebuking the devil, for condemning the condemner, for declaring, when I am weak, then I am strong. This tongue, the Lord knew that the launch of the church had to be resting upon us, the outward symbol of an inward promise and work of fiery tongues. And these tongues would be touched of heaven because we would need it. And this fiery promise, this fiery gift that would touch our tongue, we would be enabled to speak the wonderful works of God to every man and every woman. That when we speak, people could understand us and what we were saying. That if they would open their hearts to the heavenly words that we would be given, people's lives would be changed. And it was a powerful thing. And we are speaking, of course, that promise to the people that were found in Acts 2. But let me begin by reminding you of who the people were in Acts chapter 1. It was a very different group than Acts 2. For 40 days, Jesus had walked this earth. Excuse me. After his crucifixion and resurrection, and he walked with them for 40 days. He did miracles after the cross. He taught them after the cross. He actually appeared, as Pastor Carter one time so powerfully preached, after the cross, he appeared as the gardener, as a traveler, as a cook. He was showing us, this is what my body looks like now, and this is how I'm going to present myself. But on the 40th day, he brought them together on the Mount of Olives. And when we read Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, we read, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." He brought them together and he said, one, wait for me in Jerusalem. Number two, I have something for you. You shall be baptized, you shall be submersed, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. This promise is that I will give to my church times of speaking, praying, worshiping, acting, thinking, preaching, and it will all be me. It will be as if I am speaking. You will be acting in the power that is supernatural and not of yourself. About 500 people watched him as he ascended from the earth, taken up by the clouds into heaven. And then we read in Acts 1, verses 9 and 11, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" And here they are, 500 people staring up into the sky, and two angels appear in white and say, "As you see him go, he will come back. He will split the sky. He will part the clouds, and he will descend again. He will come again." And 500 are looking at that, and he had just told them before he left, "Remember, wait for me. Go to Jerusalem. I have a promise for you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit." And so about 120 of the 500 went. Maybe some of them said, let's hurry to Jerusalem. Who knows? He might be there before we get there. And 120 went to Jerusalem. 380, maybe they said, well, we'll go at sundown. Or maybe we can go in 3 days. They sort of melted away, unempowered. Maybe they felt no weight to listen. Maybe they felt they didn't have to rehearse their words in their heart. Maybe they felt that was something they didn't have to obey. Because maybe, well, I've just married a wife or I've bought me a cow and I've got the things of life to carry on with. However, our own reasonings can take us to places where we truly are missing what we need the most. 120 went to the upper room. Perhaps they were breathless. Perhaps they were any moment. The promise of the Father is going to come into our midst. But I think as time went on, perhaps opinions rose and questions. Things like, how can we be like Jesus without Jesus in our midst? We saw him leave. We saw he was taken up away from us. How do we teach like Jesus without the teacher, Jesus, here? How do we do miracles, true miracles, without the true miracle working Jesus here? And he's not with us, and our future is uncertain. And I believe as the minutes move to hours, which moves to days, likewise, an excitement perhaps went to doubt, that went to fears, and questions came up. But one thing I know is that when the debate started and opinions got louder day after day while waiting, I am so encouraged what the scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 2, because it says when the time fully came, they were in one place and one accord. What is that telling me? It tells me that these people weren't perfect, but they were obedient. And we can be fearful, unknowing, with an inexact future in front of us. But when we band together and we start to pray and we return to what they knew and they agreed on, which was this truth, wait for me in Jerusalem, I have something for you. This, beloved, is how we keep our conflict small. We band together and we agree on the truth that was last said to us. And I'm sure in that upper room, there were opinions and whatever. But the scripture says, at the time of God's choosing, they were in one place, in one accord. I'm encouraged when God uses perhaps desperate times, fearful times, inexact times in our life. We can still, in that time, band together in obedience, believing the truth and what Jesus said to us. I am encouraged by what they did. I don't know if they thought Jesus was going to appear again physically, that was the promise of the Father. I just knew that whatever it was, they were waiting. And this says to me that when we are obedient, we don't need mountain-moving faith. When we are obedient, we don't need a lot of faith. Obedience covers little faith. Obedience blossoms with mustard seed size faith. Obedience is like the great fertilizer of faith. Faith grows fast and furious in obedience. Trust me, when you don't know what to do, obey what you last heard to do, and your faith will grow there. By choosing to stay together, by choosing to help each other stay in what they knew was the truth, they didn't have to stay that way forever. Because Acts 2, verses 1 to 4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterances. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying, let me come in before you go out. Let me come in before you go out. Acts 2, 17 and 18 says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Sons, daughters, old, young, they shall prophesy. That word prophesy in the Greek means they shall speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, send the fire, because the Holy Spirit is represented as tongues of fire, and fire speaks of power, and fire speaks of purity. Obedience puts us in that place. Have you left a place of obedience? Then return to that place of obedience, because firepower awaits you there. In the Old Testament, an angel or a prophet often lit a sacrifice that was being offered to God. But here, it is God's special pleasure to light this fire. It is God's special pleasure to light this fire for himself at the launching of the church. It is his special pleasure to light, to set upon 120 people who were living sacrifices and set them on fire, a fire for himself of his own choosing. And he says, in the last days, I'm going to visit them as with fiery tongues. And they, I am the spirit of truth, and they will stand in truth, and they will speak truth, and they will push back the darkness with this light, which is fire, which won't just be a cold, hard truth, but there'll be warmth to that truth. There'll be compassion in that truth. There'll be love in that truth. We're not just some cold, hard truth in the darkness. We are light. We are fire. We are warmth, we are love, and we draw people with this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it comes when we're weak, and it comes when we don't feel like we're having a good day. It is the promise of the Father. This is how the new covenant, new church, New Testament church is our promise. And he will be faithful to us, because he's a good, good Father. And our heavenly Father says, this is my promise to you, church. I am launching you with fiery tongues. Hallelujah. And immediately they understood in John 16, 7, that says, Jesus said it was actually better for him to leave the earth bodily so he could send the Holy Spirit. Because every believer, everywhere, of every age, would know Jesus intimately by faith through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So each of us, we don't have to be in a certain place to experience him, but now he is with us intimately, individually, living in us, and we all get him and get to know him and receive the promise of the Father. 120 had tongues of fire resting on them, yet we only know the exploits and the stories of so few of them. Over 90%, even higher, were unknown, hidden people to us and to Bible history. So why did such a hidden crowd need such power? Why did people hidden, unknown, unseen need a visitation from heaven where a rushing mighty wind swept in them and through them, and fiery cloven tongues of fire, not just above them, not just sat in them, but sat in them? And the promise of a fiery tongue, being able to sing, pray, preach, and speak to people, that was so from heaven, it would invade every wall that is around a human heart and in a mind. Why was it given to such unknown and hidden people? I've heard Pastor Carter preach, 120 people set the streets and the world on fire for Christ. And now 120 churches on one street, and we can't even change a street. Hidden ones need this power. Hidden ones need this power. Why are hidden ones such as ourselves in need of this promise and this power. We, the unknown, need this power to walk this life with a fiery tongue because we are people of truth. And this is how the gospel reaches the nations. This is how the gospel percolates and becomes points of light, that a nation may be exalted, because the hidden ones receive the promise of the Father. And because the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, allows us to begin to be fashioned by truth. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, not the person of the Father, not the person of the Son, but equally and eternally God, and the one being of God that he shares with Father and Son. He is the Spirit of truth. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of truth. And we begin to love truth. We begin to love truth. We begin to be people who live truth. We begin to be people who recognize truth. We begin to be formed with truth. The scripture says, you desire truth in the inward parts. God says, this is my people who are being formed by truth and love it and recognize it and are willing to speak it. You desire truth in the inward parts. There is a scripture in Isaiah, it says, truth has fallen in the streets. We no longer have victory banners over our heads, and we no longer have street signs to keep us from losing our way. When it says truth has fallen in the streets, it is depicting a society in profound moral decay in the private sphere and in the public sphere. Truth has fallen in the streets, Isaiah says, and trampled underfoot. But there is a people with a fiery tongue who will love truth, who will speak truth. They will reject what is our current currency of truth that says, my truth, whatever it, my truth is good enough. It's good to me at the moment. It's not good enough. Man's truth cannot penetrate the darkness. Man's truth cannot hold back the darkness. The acceptance of anybody's truth is deceptive and damaging, and in many cases, destroying nations. Why do people love ridiculous conspiracy theories? So many of them are completely ludicrous and can be proven wrong in countless ways. Why? Because a society that loses truth loves darkness. And this is where the fire comes in. This is where the fire, the promise of the Father, the launching of a New Testament, New Covenant church comes in. Because the fire dispels the darkness. The internet, which is a deep net in many cases, promotes enslaving truth of everybody's truth, except the truth that makes us free. And there is a truth when it's the real truth, it makes us free. We don't pray ourselves there. We don't fast ourselves there and all that's good. We are made free by the truth of the gospel, the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the truth of the Holy Spirit coming in and giving us a desire as people of truth. And then it makes us fearless in this truth because that's what a fiery tongue is. A fiery tongue that's compassionate. This is the promise. Beloved, I know I preach this message to myself first. I promise you I do. And I know who I am apart from the Spirit of God. But that's the great thing that binds us here is we all know who we are apart from the love and grace of Jesus Christ, as capable of losing ourselves in the internet as anybody else, of embracing a lie and living down rabbit holes and minds giving way because of the lies, because of the deception, because of the darkness that wants to cover this earth. But God has a remedy, and it launched on day one, and it ever launches, and hallelujah. I will visit you, the promise of the Father from heaven. I will give you fiery tongues. And that truth that you will learn to love, you will become fearless in it. And when you're weak, then you are strong. But I promise there will be times you will call on him, and the words you speak and what you hear yourself saying will not be you. It will be the promise of your Father speaking. The Holy Spirit is also the comforter. And I thank God that that's exactly, we will have comfort in our mouths. We will have fire in our mouths. We are a people redeemed and changed by grace. And we will speak the future with hope for people, because the Holy Spirit also shows us things to come. Oh God, give us these tongues set on fire with truth, compassion, and vision. Several years ago, Pastor Carter led a whole team. We were 100 strong, and we went to Jamaica. And the story that I will tell you just very in bits and briefly, is we call it the Trenchtown Miracle. We were wanting to go to Jamaica, and the pastors there thought, oh yeah, we know, you guys just want to go to Mobe. That's their term for the beaches. And we said, actually, where's the greatest need? They said, well, there's an unspeakable need. Nobody goes there. It's called Trenchtown. It's a part of Kingston, Jamaica, where nobody goes because the drug lords run that place. There's no electricity. There's no law. There's no order. It's just drugs. It's just deprivation. It's just children being horribly abused and people living degraded lives. We said, okay, after praying, we'll go there. That's exactly where we'll go. They were shocked. In the middle of this trench was this field called No Man's Land in the middle of Trenchtown. And on either side of the field was ruled by a drug lord. And they warred with each other. And when they would war with each other, occasionally they would throw dead bodies in the field as a challenge and just to show things. Excuse me. We went and we were given wisdom that someone went and negotiated with the drug lords and said, look, let us come in. All we want to do is to tell people that God loves them. There's hope and a future. We want to come in and be a blessing. Will you let us in? They said yes. And so we set up our stage right on the field, the killing field, where nobody walked across there. Everybody stayed off that field. And in the daytime, hundreds of people that had went to Jamaica said, okay, how many people want to minister to children? And a group went here. How many people want to be in the prayer team? They went there. How many people just want to go door to door, visiting people, sitting on the porch with them and sharing the gospel? And we had that team. And we would gather and pray, and then we would go out to what we had signed up for. And it was amazing when I would see people with these megaphones walking through these streets, these terrible streets, and just calling all the children, come one, come all. Who wants to know that God loves them? Who wants to hear stories? Who wants? And the children, they were like rabbits, little rabbits coming out of everywhere, following us down the street. And we began singing and dancing down the streets, and the children had never seen joy and had never experienced love like that. Other people went door to door, and they said, they began to open their mouths, not intimidated by the fear and the dirt of that place. And they would just sit with people and say, and people would say, why are you here? And they said, we're here to open, to tell you about the power of God and the power of his son, Jesus Christ. One young man, he was from Holland. He saw a young man dig in a ditch, and he went up to him and said, let me dig that ditch for you. No, no way. He goes, no, honestly, I want to dig the ditch for you. So we gave him the shovel, and our friend from Holland was digging this deep ditch, and the guy was standing there looking at him. He goes, why are you digging that ditch for me? And he began to tell him that he felt sent there, that there was a reason we were in their streets, that God was reaching out to them to forgive them, to love them, to change them, to bring light into darkness, that there was a purpose to their lives, and they were loved and seen by God. And then people would pray. Oh my, would they pray. Night one, we assembled on the field. And people, I've never heard 200 people sing like that choir. They were literally not singing, but declaring who God was and what he wanted to do, declaring his heart, declaring his power, declaring fearlessly that we had come under orders, under a mandate, that this was God's time. This was God's time. The promise of the Father is coming. And they wouldn't even have to sit in darkness. They sang, they prayed. There was, you know, a few on the field. Night two, Pastor Carter began to preach, and he felt, I will not give an altar call. We were there four nights. Night two, he began to pray, and all of a sudden, he began to weep and cry. He broke down, hunched over the pulpit. He couldn't preach anymore because heaven had invaded his soul, and he felt the love of God for these people and needing to call on the power of the Holy Spirit to give him fire words to burn down what had been erected around their minds, their hearts, their culture, and this place. And God answered that prayer. Night three, he gave an altar call. Never, never, never have I seen an altar call like that. Now there's not hundreds on the field. There's thousands on the field. And he gives an altar call. Glory to God. And they're pulling out of their belts guns, knives, drugs, stuff I can't even tell you went on that altar. Axes. People weeping and crying, a true move of the Holy Spirit breaking. I've seen fire words, I've seen fire prayers, I've seen fire praises. And this is a dramatic story, but can I tell you, it's the same Holy Spirit, it's the same promise. Night four, that place. You see, as they were speaking, let's hear it for the sound people. They tilted those speakers so that the word of God night after night was going into these God-forsaken places bordering the field, and the word of God could not be kept out. The power of God was invading those streets in their homes. Everybody was hearing. Night four, there were thousands on that field praising God. That field, the killing field, is now a place where they have built schools, churches, homes, training centers. What God did in that place was so miraculous, even the Queen of England donated to it. I know what I'm talking about here. And I know it's for us. And I know it's for us. How the church was launched is how the church will ever be launched. Not just the first time, but all the time. Not just one day, but every day. This is the promise. And I am telling you, the darkness is deep. The lies are deceptive. But God has a remedy. My beloved class of 2026, you will bring in. We don't speak of just your hope or your future. We speak of the hope in the future you will bring to many others. Please do not back down or back away the promise of your Father. I do know, and I have been challenged, don't go out till I come in. And just wait on him. Oh God, you take the foolish and the nobodies to fill them with your Spirit, to give them, make them lovers of truth, to make them stand when no one else can stand, to give them courage when courage is needed, to be light in the darkness. This is how our Father is glorified. And so we commission you under this fiery tongue, the promise of the Father, that you will speak and you will be given words where others cannot. I just want to tell you, I know many of you, you are going home to be family missionaries. I know you're returning to families in difficult places. God will be with you. You will love truth. You will serve them. And you will be given a fiery tongue. A fiery tongue is not what burns people up. A fiery tongue is what pierces the darkness and the walls. This power in its fullest is for the obedient and those who want to live it. And as you return to your appointed places, please know the promise of the Father is for you. And if you say yes to this and you don't go out with first inviting him in, and then that fiery tongue that is your portion, which brings light and truth to the situation. Whether you speak softly or whether you speak any way that he anoints, please know Jesus will speak through you, praise through you, pray through you, and you will see the darkness moved. We love you so much. And I thank God for this word he gave me for you. The promise of a fiery tongue burns up the darkness and loves people to wholeness. Will you stand with me? Lord, the vision of fire is one that speaks of purity. It speaks of light, warmth, and comfort. I pray, O God, that the fire that you kindle, that you are pleased to light in them every day they ask you for it. I pray, O God, that purity would be their portion. You would keep them in the days to come. You would make them lovers of truth, and you would strongly support them with your love and compassion. I pray, O God, they would find a particular power in speaking the gospel as you keep them in purity and in truth. We thank you for this beautiful group of people that are hearing this living word. I thank you for this congregation that also, Lord, is hearing what you are saying. And the promise of the Father is for everyone in this place. Oh God, make us people of truth. Let us stand fearless with your fire, which will always dispel the darkness. Give us the right touch, the right tone to speak to people around us. Don't let us back up, oh God, but keep us, oh God, with the promise that you will fulfill it every day. You will help us as missionaries to our families, as missionaries to the world around us, that it's a message of love, compassion, forgiveness, and empowerment. I thank you now for speaking today. And we do remember, as God gives us grace, we will not go out before we ask you to come in and to fill us and do what only you can do. I thank you for this promise. May we live in it to its fullest, that the world may feel the impact of people willing to be people of truth and the fiery tongue that burns not people up, but the darkness up. And for this, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen.